Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. Let's hear God's call to worship. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him. Our Father, our God, we've assembled here this morning for the purpose of meeting with you. We ask that you would meet with us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be able to worship in spirit and in truth. Father, you have already spoken to us twice this morning. If we had but the ears to hear, and if we've been too busy or too distracted, or have not yet yielded ourselves to your Spirit, we pray that that would occur now, that we would hear you as you continue to speak to us, and that we'd be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be glorified here in our assembly. We ask these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our New Testament reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. In the Pew Bible, it's page 641. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 41, to the conclusion of the chapter. Let's hear God's inerrant word. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, Why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word of God to the Nicene Creed. That's page 846 in the back of your hymnals. And we'll use the creed to confess the faith that God has revealed to us in his word. Christians, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Let's back up to verse 7, down through verse 19. 7 actually sort of sits between these two sections, but it would go well with what we're reading. Proverbs 1, beginning with verse 7, let's hear the inerrant word of God. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk sweet secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain this net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who's greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. God bless the reading of his word. Let's go together before him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for the Sabbath day and for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together here. Thank you, Father, that you have spoken to us through your word, your greeting, your call to worship. Continue to speak to us. Help us to have ears that can hear, eyes that can see, and a mind that can understand. Oh, Lord, above all, a will that would submit to you. Teach us this morning how to live for you because of what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Show us again our desperate need for him. What we owe him and how we can demonstrate our gratitude and our love. And finally, Lord, we would pray for those who rule over us in this city, this state, this nation, that you would restrain evil in their minds and hearts, and that you would support and encourage and establish their attempts to do that which is good. Protect those who protect us. And may our rulers give us a good and godly government, regardless of their own intentions. Give us, Father, what we do not deserve but desperately need. Above all, what we desperately need is not so much protection and government as the work of your Spirit in our midst. And we pray that we would have that this morning. In Christ's name. Amen. A long time ago, a young man went off to university to study physics, and his father urged him to be careful of his companions, to note his behavior, to look back and check on himself, what have you been doing and what has occurred, that he may correct himself and live a godly life. That young man is known to history as Lord Kelvin. Fathers often give their children lots of advice that they never listen to. And we have here three sections that begin with those words, my son. And in this section, these three sections, we have no less than four of the last six commandments addressed, or referred to, or at least applied. And we probably also, because of the connection in the fifth commandment to the first four, and also the connection of what we have in those words, my son, no doubt reference to the first table of the law as well. You'll notice that section we read in verse 7 refers to the fear of Yahweh as the beginning of knowledge. And then with typical Hebrew poetry, there's a reversal. Sometimes it's done by a contrast. Sometimes it's done by saying the same thing again a different way. In this case, a contrast of fools despising or belittling or mocking wisdom and instructions. And then we have in our English Bibles at least one of those words coming again in the very next section. The beginning, fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of Yahweh requires us to keep His commandments. The problem, of course, is we don't. So when we're going through this section and looking at what Solomon takes and applies those commandments and makes it clear for us what they involve, at least to some extent, we should certainly realize we don't keep them. How many times, think on it, young men, young women, or gray-haired men and gray-haired women, did your father or your mother tell you to do something or give you advice or give you counsel and you blew them off? That is a failure to keep the fifth commandment. Now, in the providence of God, even our sins can amount to good things. My father strongly urged me to go to Bucks County Community College for my first 2 years, and then I could go to another college elsewhere as I was trying to prepare to become a chaplain in the U.S. Navy, because they didn't make me shave in those days. But no, I wanted to go to Tennessee Temple. I wanted to go to a Christian college, and I spent my first 2 years at that Christian college. And the good thing, of course, is I came home with a wife. But I still disobeyed my father. I still did not hear his counsel. I did not honor him. Dad didn't know what he was talking about, you see. That's actually what I was thinking. I know so much more about this than you, Dad. You're a seventh grade dropout. Don't tell me what to do. He was smart. The cost would have been so much lower. I probably would have gotten better grades. Well, actually, they went up real well when I started dating a certain young lady. I made the dean's list that first semester we dated. It's because she fixed my English papers first. My son, hear the instruction of your father. When we went over this last Sunday afternoon, I pointed out that this particular word, you can't tell it from English, but this word has a root idea of correction. You know, the foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction or instruction shall drive it forth. Did I quote that correctly, Janet? Close enough? Hear the instruction of your father. Hear the correction of your father. And do not forsake the law of your mother. And this is the word Torah. There are only three verses in the entire book of Proverbs where Torah clearly means the law of Moses. There are other cases where, maybe, but here it doesn't mean the law of Moses, but it nevertheless means the teaching of your mother. Because that's what the root idea of Torah is. Well, that tells us, again, with the fifth commandment, honor your mother and your father. Well, here it is. Hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Pay attention to them. Honor them by heeding their advice. Now, this is not the instruction of a daddy to his 3-year-old or his 5-year-old. The context makes abundantly clear in the next section. He's talking about an adolescent, almost a man. Let's look at the next section. It again begins, I jumped ahead of myself. Verse 9. For they shall be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. Now, our Jewish friends have taken other instructions in the scripture about binding the scriptures, putting it on their head and making it part of their hand. And so they make little leather boxes and put a scrap of scripture in it and tie it to their arms. And have another little leather box and they tie it on their heads. And totally miss the point. This is not saying that if you hear the instruction of your father and don't forsake the law of your mother, that you're going to be able to afford nice gold chains or pretty jewels. But that these instructions and this law themselves are the ornaments. They ordain your character. Who you are. They will be a blessing to you and a benefit to you. That doesn't mean that every mother and father or any mother and father are infallible or inerrant. But heed them. Listen to them. More often than not, especially for adolescents, they know so much more than you know and far more than you think you know. My son, if sinners entice you. Now, in this section, there's the call of the sinner that's being referred to. You should think of Satan meeting with Eve and enticing her and talking about the benefit of the fruit and what it'll do for her. But Satan's a liar. And so what Solomon does in this section is strips away the lies of those who would entice us to go with him and do really stupid things. Strips away the enticing words of you can be one of us and you'll be in with our crowd and all the benefits of hanging around us and doing the fun things that we do. So that you can see what they actually do. If sinners entice you, first of all, just notice that word. Who is it, my son, who will tempt you away from the path of the instruction of your father and the law of your mother? Well, it's not going to be good and godly young men. It'll be sinners. Don't consent to their enticement. They say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Now, I don't know anybody, and I had lots of enticements to do some pretty dumb things, and yeah, I did some of them. I don't know anybody who ever said to me, you know, that baldly, let's go roll a drunk. You know, let's beat up on somebody and do it when they haven't done anything wrong. But there's going to be enticing things. Let's go have fun tonight. Let's pick on some old guy. Let's pick on some wino. Let's pick on somebody down the street that we don't care for. Yeah, we're only going to have fun with them. But that's all stripped away to the bare truth. Let's plan a murder for the fun of it. I've seen recently in the news, the last couple of years, of people who have, the most recent one, I can't remember which state, where a girl had broken off with a boy and she was dating another guy, and the new guy pressured her to entice the other guy to come over, and they beat and stabbed and shot him and strangled him, mutilated his body, just because there was some jealousy. That's sick. Something like that happened some years ago back in Omaha, probably in the last 10 years or so. Stuff happens all the time, actually. Just don't hear about it as much. It's murder. And that, of course, is a commandment not to break. Do not murder. Solomon's stripping away the fun stuff to make it abundantly clear that, do you not understand what you're going to be doing? You're going to be murdering somebody. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol or hell, and whole like those who go down to the pit. It's possible that this could mean the grave. It's also possible it could mean hell. It can go either way. We're not going to worry about the context now, but the point is that when you're in the grave, your body's in the grave, but your soul is someplace else, and these people are going to be swallowed up. Let us swallow them up. Let us end their lives. And then we come to another commandment in verse 13. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We'll fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. There are at least two commandments there. You shall not covet. You shall not steal. What is the enticement? You know, let's steal somebody's lunch money. Roll the drunk for the few bucks he has. Steal his wine money. Can't be much if it's Boone's Farm. For those of you old enough to remember that nasty stuff. See the lightness? And yet the crassness as Solomon strips away those enticing words. You're not going to entice somebody that baldly. But hear what they're actually asking you. If Eve had had Satan come to her and say, look, you need to eat of the fruit so you can know what sin is and know the understand what death is all about and have the enjoyment of the curse of God. Do you really think she would have eaten it? But she heard his smooth words. And she wasn't listening to her father and his instructions and his law. Third section begins with verse 15 with again, My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their paths. And anyone's memorized Psalm 1 can hear it, right? Blessed is the man Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Hear that? Walk, stand, sit. Here, the council, path, seat. It's the same basic idea. And if David wrote Psalm 1, no doubt when when Solomon's writing these words, he's echoing his father's words. My son, as my father once said, don't do these things. Blessed is the man who does not walk, does not stand, does not sit, stays away from the paths and the seat and the council. My son, do not walk in the way with them. That phrase in Hebrew has the idea of, you know, just walking down the street, walking on the way to school, hanging out. Now, that's a more literal idea. Obviously, metaphorically, it's referring to don't be their companion. I think the old King James phrase is the evil communication, and I can't remember the last part of the verse. The English little proverb is, one bad apple spoils the bunch. Bad company. I think it's good morals, isn't it? Evil communication ruins godly behavior, something to that effect. Keep your foot from their path. Don't walk in the way with them. And then he spells out exactly what happens. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. They're sinners, and that's why they make haste to do evil. They want to kill people for a lark and a party with the ill-gotten gains. Don't do this. There's a great little proverb here in verses 17 and 18. The idea is of catching with a net birds. We all know, we even use the expression about somebody who's not too terribly bright, that he's a real bird brain. And some birds are dumber than others. But it doesn't matter how dumb it is, if you're right there, the bird's sitting in the tree and you're spreading the net, even a bird isn't dumb enough to get caught in the trap. Even a bird has enough brains not to do that. But not these clowns. They're that dim-witted. They lie in wait, however. They think they're going to go out to kill somebody else. They're lying in wait for their own blood. They're going to ambush themselves. They lurk secretly for their own lives. Because the behavior that they're entering in is one that's sure shooting, sooner or later, going to end up with them dead. In an early, perhaps shallow grave. Be smarter than that. So are the ways of everyone who's greedy for gain. There's your covetousness again, and or stealing. It takes away the life of its owners. It's secondhand suicide. But again, brothers and sisters, as Solomon opens up those commandments and helps us to see them and understand them, we need to understand what the law does. We've all done these things to one degree or another. We are lawbreakers. So to understand the law that we might hear the instruction of our father, that we might not forsake the law of our mother, that's what we should do. But that's what we don't do. And therefore, we have violated the law of God. And we deserve to die. They say that we will swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. And that's what we richly deserve. The more you understand the law, the more you should understand your own corruption. And your own desperate need for a Savior. We should read this and say, oh, what a good boy am I. Not. We should read this and say, what an idiot I am. What a sinner I am. What an evil man I am. For my feet run to evil. And I need to repent. And run to Jesus Christ. And then again, look at these commandments. Hear the commandments opened up and explained. And say, here is wisdom. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Because of what Christ has done for me, I should no longer be a fool who despises or has mocking contempt for wisdom and instruction, but rather one, because of what Christ has done, desires to be like Him. Did you not see what we read in Luke's Gospel? Jesus grew. Jesus was about His Father's business. Jesus submitted Himself, look at those last three verses, submitted Himself to Joseph and Mary. Because He's God in the flesh, He kept the law perfectly, even as a 12-year-old boy. This is what He's like, and this is what we're to become like. So let us hear the Proverbs and say, yeah, this is what I haven't been. This is the things I'm told to do here I have not done. The things I'm told not to do I have done. But in Christ, they're paid for it. In Christ, they're washed away. And because of that, now, dear God, help me to learn the fear of Yahweh. Help me to hear the instruction, not just of my dad in Pennsylvania or my mom in Pennsylvania or your dad or your mom, but to hear the instructions of our Heavenly Father. Because what Solomon's doing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is opening up the commandment, the Torah, the teaching of Yahweh. And showing us what wisdom is. And if we're in Christ, we need to begin by the power of the Spirit to build this into us, because we can't do this in the flesh. When Joseph went before his father, who was an old man, that is, Joseph, the son of Israel, he's a grown man. He's the ruler of a nation under Pharaoh. And he bowed himself down at his father's feet. Even as a grandpa, my father has things to teach me still. And if my earthly dad has things to teach me, how much more my heavenly Father? Let's go before him in prayer. Father, as we see what wisdom is and thereby see by that light how foolish we have been, drive us, we pray, to Jesus Christ. For his blood cleanses us from all sin. But drive us also to the Spirit of God who indwells us, that we might yield to him and learn from him how to walk with Christ. That these proverbs would open our eyes to what wisdom really is. That we would be wise as Christ urged us to be. Being wise, that we would glorify him. We ask this of you in his precious name. Amen.